Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Eddie Hermida from Suicide Silence and All Shall Perish, and you're hearing me here on the MacNez Podcast.
What's up, everybody? MacNez Podcast, episode 130, I believe. It's been a while since I've come on here. If you guys listen to the network, it's been nothing but Heat Society, which is fine. But this is a special episode. Other than it's my sixth year in the game, I should have more episodes than I do. But once Heat Society took over, it pretty much that's where all my time went. But this is going to be a shout out for all you taters and tots out there. We got half of the Ripe Potatoes from the Ripe Potatoes podcast, which you can hear also on Anchor as well as the Heat Society. Just search them. We'll get to more of that in a minute. But James is on the other side of the country, but we have Steven from the Ripe Potatoes. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Yo, what's up? What's up? What's up, man? Doing well. How we doing?
Same old, man. Just work, and work, and come home and do it all over the next day. But you are a collector, a podcaster, and everything, a comic reader, and all that, just like we all are here over at the network. But before we dive into the show and everything, let everyone know. You don't have to say where you're at, but what state are you in?
So I'm in Nevada, actually fairly close to yourself. We work in the same city, but we don't live quite as close as where we work.
No, but, I'm far away.
But yeah, man, I'm in Nevada. Been here a while. Like you said, I do the podcast Ripe Potatoes with James. Basically, just quick synopsis for that is we take reviews from the Rotten Tomatoes platform that we think have been wrongly analyzed for whatever movie it is. For example, The Crow, they give it a poor review, but we love The Crow, so we gave it a good review and said why. And we read their reviews and kind of debunk it. And then we also review whatever the movie it is we want. So we kind of do whatever it is that calls at the time, man.
Yeah, for me on this show, that's what I do. I do pretty much whatever I want and have on whoever I want. But I mean, since I got into your guys' little circle, I don't even remember. Oh, it was through Russ. He's the one that told me. He goes, yeah, you should listen to the Ripe Potatoes. These guys are awesome. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I started listening. I loved what you guys do on the show. I had no idea you guys were so close. And I was like, damn, man. I said, these guys got, they have to be on. Cause, I got into it. There's a local horror podcast called the Padded Room Podcast in Sparks. That's how I got introduced into, I was listening to podcasts and everything for a year, but when I was there with them in their studio, I was like, I can do this. So kind of talked to them, figured out what I needed, and I just went. It all started on my phone before I doing what I'm doing now with microphones and all that. But, yeah, I can't even remember how I found the Oki podcast. But once he told me about you guys and I was listening, I think I reached out to James, and he goes, yeah, I'm in Reno Sparks area. And I'm like, what? And then that's when he goes, yeah, the other guy's in Fernley. Oops, sorry, everyone, but now you're in Nevada. But so I was like, oh, well, fuck, man, these guys are right here. So I'm like, I got it. And then when we had that whole round table and when we did Res Dogs and whatever else we did. And then after we did that last one, we did came on Heat Society and we did that little snippet for the 31 Days of Horror when we did a round table on horror films. That's all right, man. I don't care about the background noise. Yeah. I'm sure you'll hear my grandkids running up and down the hall in a little bit. But, yeah.
I got the loudest dogs in all the lands, dude. Let me tell you. They hear anything and it's over.
We had two little animals on the show, but both of them went to better pastures. My dog, Pudge, she was on many of the earlier episodes of Heat Society and Magnus podcast, and the Zisu, his cat Flea, was always on the show. He seemed to just walk up to the microphone and start meowing all the time. So yeah, they're missed. They were our little podcast pets. So, but no worries.
Rest easy to those. That's my old man that actually he sparks the majority of it. He's 11 years old now, dude. But anytime he hears anything, he just goes off. And it's like nonstop. And right now it's literally just my wife pulling up to the house and he's losing his mind, dude. So that's how he always does it. So
how long? First, with the ripe potatoes, I mean, when did you guys decide to do a podcast and why and how did you guys start?
Okay, so actually, it's kind of weird how it developed. I used to be in another podcast. It was called The Poke and Prodcast, which, I mean, if you want to go back and hear what I used to do, you can go check that out. I used to do that with my friend Matt and then my friend Jordan at the time. And basically, it got to be where it was just I wasn't home as much, and it just came to be a hassle. And then I wasn't happy doing it. So I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. And so I had thought of the ripe potatoes. I was like, oh man, I'd love to do a podcast, literally the exact opposite of Rotten Tomatoes, right? So ripe potatoes. I was like, that's pretty funny. And so I was like, man, I really want to do this. And I was actually going to fly into it as a solo project. And I was like, you know what? It might be better if I have somebody to go bounce some ideas off of. And Beef and I, well, James, we talk movies all the time anyway, you know, and shows and pretty much everything, music, comics. So I was like, man, he would be a perfect guy to have join me. And then as the show progressed, you can kind of, if you start from episode one and just keep going, you'll see how we progressed and basically how the show was built from stuff we liked, stuff we didn't like. And every single time we'd be talking about a movie, James would be like, oh, fun fact. And he'd bring up all these crazy facts about the movie you might not have known, or maybe you did know. And so that's basically where that segment, Fun Facts with James, comes from. Because I was like, screw it, dude. Like, for every single movie we talk about, go ahead and throw some fun facts in there. Let's find a little history out about the movie, or, you know, whatever it is that we're reviewing. And that's kind of how that came to be. So it was an idea I was sitting on for a while. But then after I finished the other podcast, it's like, well, I want to do something, and I'm already going to be recording it here. And I had all the equipment at my house. And so James is like, screw it, man. Like, I'll drive out and see you and let's do it. And that's kind of how it came to be, man. It was a wild ride, that's for sure.
Well, that's good, man. Yeah. Once I started listening to what you guys do, I was like, this is pretty much what the Zisu and I do. I pulled him into this. Because before it was just me. We always go to San Diego Comic-Con, and we were down there, and I was already doing shows. And I said, you know what? I want to do a daily wrap-up. Because the year before I was down there, and he wasn't with me, and I did one. And I said, I want to do one. So whatever we did the day before, we'll talk about in the morning, and then we'll just throw it out. He was like, okay. He didn't really know what to do. I said, just here, I'm going to hand you my phone. We recorded it all on my phone. And just say who you are, and this is what you did, and this is what you want to see that day. And he was like, okay. He was really just – he's a shy guy. And I said, dude, just talk like we're talking. And then as the days went on, we were down there for the week, he – kind of opened up a little more, and I said, he goes, yeah, you liked it? He goes, yeah, that was fun. So we got home, we're doing whatever. He kind of came up with an idea. Hey man, we should talk about this, some show that he watches. And I'm like, all right, cool. Let's do it. So we recorded it. And then he goes, hey, we should do another one about this. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give you this opportunity. Come up with a show. You can run it. You can work out the format, everything. We'll just put it here on my network. And he's like, all right. So we threw a lot of names around for what we have. And I don't even remember the other ones. But when he put E-Society, I was like, that one kind of grabbed me. Oh, he loved that TV show, Mr. Robot, that whole F-Society thing. So he goes, it's kind of like that. I'm like, okay. I didn't even know what Mr. Robot was at that time until I watched it. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay, I get it. I said, let's just do that. At this point, we didn't know there is another E-Society out there, but it has to do with something else. But there wasn't an E-Society podcast. So we just took that name, and we've been doing that for almost, I think it's been 5 years now. And no one said anything to us about it. So we just assume it's all right. So we kind of, you know what, just think of another name if somebody comes and tells us to change the name. But no one has. No one seems to care. I assume maybe when we get big time for whatever reason, then people will probably say something to us. But as of now, it's just what we're doing. So I got him into it, and we're on the regular network. I think we're like 2-something episodes, but we started to spin off on to these other different shows, little spinoffs from the E-Society. Then when Anchor came along, we got into Anchor like right in the beginning when there was hardly anybody on it. Because a friend of mine, he's our tech guy. He was like, hey man, this is new. It just came out. You guys should do this. And we were like, all right. We just kind of signed up and didn't really do nothing with it. And I said, well, we better do something with it. So we started doing like smaller episodes on just like one topic. And then it just went from there. So the other day I added all our stuff up and it came out, I think we're like at 712 episodes, I think, total, along with regular E-Society and everything we got on Anchor and all the spinoff things we did. So I'm like, damn, that's been a lot. I didn't realize that. And we're only 130 in on MacNez podcast, and it's been 6 years. Oh, so, but it's fun. I love doing it. It just kind of helps me with all the stress of life and everything. But once I started listening to other shows, and then people reach out to me, hey, I like your show. Can you come on mine? Yeah, sure. And then that's when I start finding out about this show and that show. And this is how I found you guys. And eventually, I think we'll sit down and all be in the same room and do it. I would love to come over to you guys and hang out and everything. But it's cool. I'm glad that Russ told me to listen to you guys, because, I mean, I loved what you guys hear. And I love the shout outs when I had said, you guys should do a longer show. And then I remember you guys did a show and you went, hey, that's for MacNez. We're doing a longer one. So I was like, cool. Because my drive from my house to work is an hour and a half. And I listen to your show and I'm like almost to the halfway point and then it's over. I'm like, ah. Oh. So I did go back and started listening to everything, but I'm already caught up now. So
that 5-hour episode, dude, we went hard for you on that one.
Yeah, you guys did, man. I was like, damn, that took like I listened to it going to work, a little bit at work, and then coming home when I finished it. And I was like, damn, I mean, that was an episode. You beat me. My episode that I've done by myself solo, I did a Friday the 13th episode in the beginning when I just ran through the whole franchise, and that was 3 hours. I was surprised I did that much by myself. When I do East Society with the Z, so sometimes we'll go 3 hours. But yeah, 5. You guys beat us. So I mean, that was sweet though. But I loved how you got myself and a bunch of other people on there to talk about. You even got your wife in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I got my wife, and then I even interviewed my kid. Yeah, I was like, oh, she's here, so let's get her.
That's cool, man. I mean, my kids are all grown. Now my grandsons are running around in here. So, but yeah, it's always a house full of kids here. If it's not ours, it's someone else's. But the Red Potatoes, how many episodes are you guys? Do you guys keep track, or are you just? Well, you guys are.
We do.
You guys
are. Yeah, I think, let's see. The last one we did was 101. So, yeah, we're at 101 episodes right now. We've been, I try to keep on top of it. And if we can't put something out every week, which, you know, life kind of gets busy sometimes, especially right now, for example, we didn't put an episode out this week because James is in New York. He's going and doing other cool shit. So,
yeah.
But other than that, man, yeah, we try to put it out at least weekly is our goal. So.
Yeah, that's how we started out. And then sometimes it works and sometimes most of the time it doesn't. We just put them out when we can. That's why when Anchor came along, like, you know what? We didn't really do a full episode this week. Let's do something over here for like a half hour. And it was always easy just to throw out there. It took a while for people to know we were on Anchor. Well, we were telling everyone, but figured our listeners over there would come over. Eventually, they all did. Now, those episodes we put out, a lot of people listen to it. So I'm like, okay, good. Because we're always talking about it. E-Society is all over the place. And hopefully someday somebody wants to send us money.
But yeah, that's kind of where we're at too, man. You know, it's like, especially like Russ, when Russ told us basically before he even started his Oki podcast, he was talking about, he's like, yeah, man, I think I'm going to do this full time. Like, he's like, I'm getting set up to do it, blah, blah, blah. And then basically from there, it was just networking. You know, obviously we met you. We met the guy, Skoden, our homie.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, like you were saying, it's cool because you can get people on board and you can do episodes with other people. And that's kind of why I like doing that. At first, it was just to do a podcast, just to talk about movies, you know, and then I'll post a link up online. If somebody wants to listen to it, then cool, they'll listen to it. But then once we started network, I was like, damn, like, this is pretty damn cool. And like you were saying, I didn't know you go to San Diego Comic-Con, you know, obviously, those of us who are lucky enough to get those tickets. I went in, I think it was 2019 was the last one before COVID hit. And I still have my tickets rolled over to this year from the last 2 years of waiting. And I was thinking about the same thing, you know, I'm like, damn, maybe I should like interview people or do a video or something at the Comic-Con for the Ripe Potatoes, be, you know, similar to like what we did for our 100th episode, and just be like, hey, what are your top five favorite movies of all time? You know, and then I don't know. There's just so much you could do with a podcast. And obviously, you know, when whether it be like E-Society or the Ripe Potatoes, obviously we have our own thing, right? It's not very niche because there's other people that do it, but it's our own thing because it's us. And it's the people, I think, that make the podcast, which is why I love being in the network that we are, because the people are great, man.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had any issues with anyone that it's either been on the show or usually a lot of people like the more smaller time shows like us. I mean, it's hard to reach out to someone that's got like a billion listeners, because then it's rare that they answer. But when I went to San Diego Comic-Con, I came across this one show called Horror Movie Night. I love horror movies. And they would find all these obscure stuff and everything, and you're just usually the mainstream things, but I loved what they did. And one of the guys always went to San Diego, and I kind of started messaging him, and then he goes, yeah, I'm going to be down there. You should come by the booth. That's what I would love to have. Well, they're part of the Geekscape network, so that's how he always gets to sit at a booth. I mean, I'm always on the other side of the table. I would like to be on that side. But then I'm like, I don't know if I want to be in a booth, because I want to go see everything at Comic-Con. Yeah. So, but he was really cool. Shout out to Matt. And I met him the last few years I've gone. I've been going to San Diego since 2005. And
oh, shit.
I've loved every time. It was an amazing. But once I started doing the show, Matt's been on the show when I was down there. Other people that I just meet. I mean, you talk to people from all over the place just standing in line. And I would pull out my phone. Hey, man, can I ask you about this? And yeah, sure. So I just get random people on there. Some people that I'm still in contact with and I talk to all the time. Or I have friends that I only see at The guys that go to like all the cons, yeah, or people that I just see when I go to San Diego. And it's always good to see them. So I try to go to as many conventions as I can, but once the whole COVID thing started, that kind of threw a wrench in everything. But I did make it down to Vegas. My son and I went down there for the day for, I think it was Day of the Dead con. It was at some little hotel. It was a small little horror convention. I was all nervous because I wasn't sure. In Vegas, it seemed like the pandemic never ended or never started because everybody was running around free like it was nothing. But my fear got over it really quick. We had a really good time. So I'm like, okay, cons are starting to happen now. I think the next one I'm going to is Texas Frightmare in Dallas in a couple months. I was thinking about going to WonderCon. I'm not really sure. Planned right now to go to New York, to New York Comic Con, because that's always
fun. That's what we want to do, too. That's what we want to do this year, too, hopefully.
Well, if you guys go, man, and you don't mind a third guy, let's all throw in and get a room, so I don't mind sleeping on the floor.
But yeah, well, I'll have to figure out what the hell I'm going to do out there, because right now I know they're pretty strict on, like, their COVID rules and shit, and I haven't gotten my jab yet, but I know they're pretty hefty on that, dude. Like, I guess I asked beef because I was just curious, you know. I'm like, well, if I'm going to be going to New York Comic Con, I need to know what the hell I'm in for, you know. And basically he's had to show his vax card at everywhere he's gone to, like go into the restaurants and shit. So I'm like, oh, it might be a rough time for me in New York if I go, man. So I'm just like, well, we'll do whatever we have to do. We'll figure it out. And I mean, fuck it.
Because I'm pretty sure in California, San Diego, I'm sure there, when I'm in San Francisco, I can go in anywhere unless I showed up. I've gone to a few concerts and everything, and that was the first thing they ask for before you get in the door. They come out and make sure you have it before you even get to the door. So I'm like, all right, yeah, here it is. Go for it. But I mean, I'm just like, these are different times that we're living in. So it depends. Some places don't care, but most of the places I've been is like, well, do you have your card? I'm like, oh, I got to pull it out. But then I like some places. You got it on your phone? Yeah, it's easier right here. So, but it's different times. I don't know how, if it's that strict in New York, sounds like it's just as strict as down in the Bay Area, because that's where I go all the time. And everywhere I go, the big places, they usually ask. They don't really say so much at like stores, but like bigger places, venues or more of a fancier restaurant, they will. But yeah, man, have you been to New York Comic Con?
I have not. I was trying to go, I think it was 2 years ago too, before COVID hit. And then I was like, oh, well, shit, I guess I'm not going. I did see, though, at least for like WonderCon. So what WonderCon they're allowing people to do is you have to show either proof of vaccination, or you have to do you have to show a negative test that's not dated any further back than like 48 hours or something like that. And so I was like, okay, well, I mean, if I got to schedule out a few freaking COVID tests, like, I'm down as shit. Like, whatever I got to do, man, is pretty much where I'm at right now. Cause I'm like, well, I gotta go to my San Diego Comic Con, bro.
So yeah, I think they're going to be really strict. They had one back in November, like a little small one, but
I remember that.
Hear anything about it. Usually, like when something goes on for Comic Con or even WonderCon, it's like all over the place. Oh, this happened, pictures of it everywhere. I didn't see one thing on that thing in November. So I wasn't sure if it was a success or not. I mean, I wanted to go, but tickets went so fast, and I knew that too. So I was like, eh. But
you did want to roll yours into that, right? I'm assuming.
The last few years, I had a hookup. If they went, like, because they were like professionals, and oh yeah, man, just give me money and I'll get you a badge. So, because I tried every year, and in the beginning when I first started going, I mean, you could buy tickets like at the door, and you could, or I remember the first year we went, we drove down there. The Wednesday we were leaving, my son goes, well, I want to go an extra day. So I was like, you know what? I just went right online, bought more passes, and we were good. And now it's like impossible to get them. It's like a roll of the dice. Hopefully you get in.
That lottery system, bro.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, damn, what happened? It was before. Like, all right, tickets are so cool. Just get on whenever you feel like it. Buy them, and we were in the house. But now it's like, all right. I mean, I don't know if you've seen that episode of Big Bang Theory when those guys were just, as soon as the time hit, and they were like, refresh. You can't refresh anymore, boys and girls. But they, back in the earlier days, you could. On how they were trying to get tickets, and that's how it is now. It's like you gotta sign up, you gotta be a member, this and that. Give them a quart of piss and some this and that, just to put your name in the hat, and hopefully you win. Because we used to go down there deep. We'll have to, like about seven of us, and then it just dwindled down to two of us.
Which they have a new portal, dude. They have a new portal. I actually just got an email today, and it's like, hey, if you haven't used the new portal, you need to go in and log in with your shit. I'm like, oh, great, here we go.
I got that, and I did it too. I said, well, I might as well just get it over and do it now instead of later. But I'm gonna throw my hat in there. Hopefully I can get a ticket to go, get a badge. If I'm not there all four days, I'm happy with going one day. I just don't want to break my streak. These past 2 years, these are different times, so I'm not going to count those 2 years, but I want to get in there. So hopefully, and I keep contact with my buddies and everything, and if they go, they usually tell, hey, man, we're going to go. Do you want us to get a badge? Hell yeah. But I just try to do that, and I usually get in. So my fingers are crossed. My fingers are crossed that I can just get one. Again, even if it's Sunday, which is the weakest day, but I just want to be there. I mean, it's so fun to go. It's even fun to go outside and everything. All the stuff's up. It's gotten. I remember when 2005 when I first went, it was big. But now it's bigger and expanded more to the outside, and it's just crazy good fun. I haven't been to WonderCon since it hit Anaheim. I just did all the San Francisco stuff, and then I was mad when they moved it. But I don't know. Did you ever hit those ones in San Francisco?
You know, I never did. I haven't really hit much, man, honestly. Like, I've done amazing Las Vegas Comic Con, and then we hit a couple in like Sacramento and shit, but we never really hit anything out there, man. It's kind of wild. I wanted to, but I just never did.
So, did you hit the Wizard World when it came to Reno?
Oh yeah, absolutely. When those were here, I was super hyped on those, because I was like, oh shit, they're actually having something, you know. So I was pretty amped on that. But I wish they would bring him back, because we haven't had anything here for a while. But actually, did you go to all those?
Yeah, I went. And then I was mad when they said they weren't doing it anymore, because they were saying there wasn't a lot of people there. I was like, the days I went, it was packed every time. I mean, what? I don't know what they wanted, but I've been to those and the Sands Regency, the little casino.
Oh, yeah, yep. Been to those, too.
I went to their very first one, and it was one room. And it was mainly just comics. Like, old-timers that just had boxes and boxes of old stuff from probably when they were kids. I went through, and I was in and out in, like, 20 minutes. Because there wasn't – it was just that one room. And I know they had a panel room as well, but I think I stuck around for some artists, but other than that, I was in and out of that place. And I know they did a couple more after, but I was always out of town when they had them. So I'm hoping that they start those up. Cause my friend said he went to the last one and it was bigger. I think he expanded to like two rooms. So, but.
Oh yeah, no, it was pretty solid. Which now, cause they did a remodel, and the reason I know that is cause I actually worked on it, and they did a whole remodel and shit. So it should be cooler if they end up doing it again. But actually James set up a booth at the WonderCon, or not the WonderCon, the Wizard World. Was it Wizard World? Yeah. No, it was called Pop Culture Con is what it was called here.
Oh, I missed that one.
Which, yeah, James actually set up a booth there and sold a bunch of his artwork, which was really cool. But yeah, I love small stuff like that too, especially because it gets like local artists out. You get to meet new people again, you know, and I just like doing stuff locally. Sometimes it's hard for me to get out of town, especially with like the kid and wife and, you know, trying to get everything organized. I went to Sacramento with them and it was rough. We had a rough time. So, yeah, man, that's that's kind of where we are on that.
Yeah, when my little guys were little, I mean, especially going to San Diego for the very first con, it was like, hold my hand, because you know how wild it and millions of people are in there. But as they got older and when the cell phones came along, it was like they pretty much ran off and did their own thing. As long as I was able to call them and let them know where I was at. But speaking of James and his art, did he design your guys' little ripe potatoes logo or whatever you picture the two of you?
No, actually. So which is kind of funny because you would think, right? Because he is an artist, but no, we actually had one of my buddies. He was going to school for it was like 3D design, and so I was like, "Hey, would you be interested in making this for our podcast?" And I'll go ahead and sponsor you, you know. And then he's like, "Yeah, sure," you know. So that's actually a 3D model that we have a still of, and basically, if we wanted to, we could have taken that file and made like bust banks and stuff like that, got them 3D printed. But yeah, my buddy Ched Rock, he's not actually doing 3D design anymore, but he also designed some stuff that I was doing for Twitch, because I stream occasionally. I used to be a little bit more heavy into it, which hopefully I'll get back into it at some point. But yeah, he designed my logo and stuff for Twitch, and he was doing all sorts of stuff at the beginning, and now he's going to school for something else. So change that path.
All right, I'm looking at on your anchor page. Which one are you? Let me guess. Are you the one on the right?
Let's see. I don't even know where I anchor. Let's see. All right. So let's see. Is the one with a? Yep, I'm the one on the right.
Okay, I was just guessing. The other one looks just like James. Okay.
Which he had his hair. He had that long ass hair. When we started this, so it was perfect, dude. So if you rotated it, he had a big ass fucking ponytail in the back, dude. I loved it. It was awesome.
You mentioned the Rotten Tomatoes and all that. I did not know that's why you called yourselves the Ripe Potatoes.
Yep.
Because I was gonna ask where the ripe potatoes come from, but you already did. That's now I get it. I was like, okay, that's a little tricky play on the words, but awesome. Now I get it, because I was like, why are they called the ripe potatoes? I just never understood that. So, but.
There was a, which it's kind of crazy. So we started this, I want to say it was in, our first episode, I think was in March of, what was it? Oh no, it was literally the end of February in 2020. Right. So, it's actually our year or our 2 year anniversary of podcasting in 3 days. So, woo. Go us. But yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man. But this so we started it back in February of 2020, and then no joke, I think it was in May of 2020, or maybe even later. Maybe it was like 6 months in. So it might have been either May or September. I can't remember for the life of me. But the Rotten Tomatoes came out with a podcast that literally does the same exact thing that we're doing. But it's called the Rotten Tomatoes Were Wrong is what it's called. And I was like, man, can you imagine? We put out a podcast to do this, and then the Rotten Tomatoes actually makes a podcast doing the same exact thing 6 months later. I was just like, whatever, man. But I actually emailed them and I was like, hey, just so you know, there's a podcast that's already doing what you guys are doing. And then they replied back and they're like, oh, that's cool. We'll have to check it out. And they're like, but if you have any movie suggestions for us to do, feel free to email back. And I was like, nah, go fuck yourself. But, you know, I'm not bitter about it, but it was one of those things. I was like, man, you guys could have done this a long time ago, but now you want to do it. So whatever.
This is a while ago. I don't think I've ever mentioned this. I must have just totally forgotten about it until now. When I started the Mac Nez Show podcast, someone kind of went, hey, man, so-and-so goes by Mac Nez, another native guy. And I'm like, well, how old is this guy? And he was only a teenager. And I'm like, well, I've been Mac Nez way before that guy was even born. So I got seniority. I guess I should trademark it. But he was like, oh, okay, yeah, no, no worries. And that was the end of that. So that's probably why I fucking forgot all about it. But I assume someone, I mean, I came up with that name. I used to be, I guess I still am. I never really quit. We just kind of stopped doing it. I was in a native hip hop group called Without Reservation. Oh, and I just went by Nez. And then one day I was hanging out with my friends at work, and the hip hop artist from the Bay, Mac Dre, he was coming out with, I think, like a greatest hits album. I think it was after he had passed. And then I was sitting there looking at it, and I was like, oh, Mac Dre's got a new album coming out. I said, oh, man, I'm going to change my name to Mac Nez. And I just said it as a joke. And it just kind of, one of my buddies goes, I like that, man. Use that. So I was like, okay, whatever. So I said it a few times when we were on stage, and then it just kind of stuck. So when I was thinking out, well, how am I, when I wanted to do a podcast, I was like, well, what am I going to call it? I was thinking of a Native Side, but then I looked up, there was already a Native Side, and I said, well, maybe Native Side with Nez or this and that. I wanted to put my name in it anywhere. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to call it the Mac Nez Podcast and go with that and see if anyone says anything. Only one person has reached out, but it was too late. But I'm like, all right. And I was thinking, I'll just start off with that. And if I change it later, I'll change it. And 6 years later, it's still the same. And I'm not changing it. So, I mean, that's I did a small little shirt run with it. So whoever has them that are out there. I'm thinking about doing another one. We also want to do one for East Society as well. But have you guys done the T-shirt route yet?
So we haven't. But my buddy Jason, he made us a couple of T-shirts just for Beef and I with our logo on it. And so he made a couple of those shirts, and I was like, man, we probably should do something at some point. But as of now, we haven't done anything. I wanted to do like maybe black T-shirts or something, and literally all it says on the front of it is like Tater, and then get ones that say Tots, you know, or do like Tater Hater, and then have like a potato in like a no smoking sign, you know.
Well, whatever you guys put out, I mean, I'll buy one.
I appreciate
it. I'll support it. I don't know how many people bought my shirts. I know there's a few out there. Some people, hey, I got a shirt. Cool, right on. I just kind of, yeah, I threw it on one of my friends. He's got his own little T-shirt thing going on. I said, hey, man, is it cool if I stick this on it for a little bit and just see if people buy them? He goes, yeah. He said a few people bought them. Well, I bought one. I had to buy my own. I was like, yeah, cool. So I just did a small little run, and I said, hey, man, just pull it, because I was thinking of starting my own little whatever site he used. I know there's a bunch of them, TeePublic and whatever the other ones are. Thinking of doing that with my show as well as East Society. Right now we're in the process of coming up with another East Society logo. We'll probably keep this one as well just for the classic East Society, but one of my friends, she's trying to design something. I just told her, you know what, whenever you get to it, just take your time, there's no rush. So hopefully that, and I always throw that out there, any artists, if you guys want to make something for us for East Society, go for it. I don't think we could pay you, but just if you want to get your artwork out there, we'll hype you up and talk about you on the show every day, every episode we got, to let you know.
Yeah, fan art, baby, let's go.
Yeah. This is a question. When you guys are doing, you got the sponsors, I know that with Anchor, It only went so far, and then they were like, "Oh yeah, we'll match you up with other people to sponsor." And we did it until we got $50, and then it's okay. Your sponsor thing ended, so we're like, "All right." And then they never emailed us or whatever. I don't even know how to get other sponsors so we can get that fraction of a cent or whatever every download.
Yeah. So with us. When I was at with my other podcast, so we used Anchor when I was on that Poke and Prodcast, and we were getting freaking sponsors left and right, man. Like there was a time where we were able to record sponsorships for like 4 different sponsors, and I was like, oh, that's tight, you know, whatever. So when we jumped into the Ripe Potatoes, I was like, man, first of all, they didn't end up distributing our stuff, so I had to reach out to their customer support, and then. For the advertisements, it only popped up with the Anchor one. They've never given us another one for other than like when it came to the election time, they allow you to, you know, throw up a sponsorship for one of the 3 free ones or whatever, but they don't pay you for it. And so I was like, I don't know how the hell this works. And so I reached out to them and I was like, hey, you know, we'd like to have more sponsors for our podcast. How the hell do we do that? Or what do we have to do? And basically they just replied with, once you get more traction on your podcast, then we'll come up with new sponsors for you. And I have yet to see one. So, because I mean, at that time we were at, I don't even know how many plays, maybe like 67 plays or something, you know, and now we're in the thousands. So it's like, hey, you know, it'd be kind of cool to have something else, but. They aren't giving it to us, and I don't understand it myself, but they say that they're going to give it to us, so I'm like, well, when?
Okay, that's good to know, because I was unsure on how it all worked, because, all right, you guys are in the same boat as we are, because I'm like, I don't know. I would get all these emails. Oh yeah, we'll hook you up with sponsors and all that. I'm like, okay, cool. But no one ever sends me anything other than, oh, this new update or here, join this, join that. And man, I don't want to join things if they join to be a part of this network. I'm like, I don't want to be caught up in that whole thing, but I don't know. I mean, I still want to, figure out, because I mean I was like, oh cool man, we're up to like $2 and all this, but as soon as it got to 50 it just stopped, and then I'm like, oh okay, well maybe they're gonna give us something else, and they never did. So I'm like, okay, whatever, we'll see how it goes from there. But I mean, I every now and then I'll throw something like you guys, I mentioned you guys, hey, listen to the Ripe Potatoes, listen to Oki Podcast, listen to Skoden Cinema, listen to Padded Room, listen to this and that. Everyone that I know that I'm a part of, because they always give us shouts out and everything. So and that's about as much advertisement as I do for people. And I mean, from word to mouth, when I talk to other friends, when they go, oh man, we listen to your show and you guys mentioned this guy or that guy, who else you want to listen to? First thing comes out of my mouth, because I listen to you guys probably the most right now. Hey, listen to these guys, Ripe Tomatoes, the Ripe Potatoes. They're local. This is the guys in Nevada and Reno. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, if you got listeners that I know of, they're listening to you guys. So it's cool. But, You said you do Twitch, so you're a online gamer, or is that just every now and then?
Oh yeah, no, I'm an affiliate with Twitch, which is, I mean, I would love to say that it's pretty cool, because you know, it's kind of cool. You can get paid for gaming, but being a Twitch affiliate is basically the precursor to becoming what's called a partner, and a partner is those big guys that get, you know, a ton of money for streaming on the daily. But I'm a Twitch affiliate, so you can actually go and sub to my page. I've got little emotes that you can use that are specific to my chatters and stuff like that. But yeah, I've been doing that for, probably, how old am I? Or let's see, 2017 probably. So yeah, about 4 to 5 years now. I've been doing that. So I started out with a game called Titanfall 2. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but first person shooters were always my thing. And then Titanfall 2, I got up there pretty good with some of the highest ranked players in the world. So it was really awesome. And that's kind of where I was streaming, and then just kind of kept going from there. I streamed a lot of Rainbow Six Siege. We started competing with Rainbow Six Siege, and yeah, I played a lot of games. That's for damn sure.
I cannot play those first person shooter games. I'm one of those lucky ones that get sick and dizzy playing those games. I mean, I learned that by playing the PS1 with Star Wars Dark Forces. I believe that's what it was called. I was playing it like, oh, cool. And I was like, I don't feel good. I was wondering what's wrong. So I thought I was getting sick. So I stopped, went outside, walked around, got a breath, went back in and started playing it again. And I was starting to feel the same way. I was like, oh, and my wife goes, this is making me dizzy and feeling sick watching you do this. And I'm like, well, that's how I feel. So that's when I realized that's how I realized I didn't like that. My son, he played the GoldenEye game.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And I was watching him. I just wanted to see, and I started to feel the same. I'm like, damn it, it's these games. I can't play them. And he always, here, play them. I'm like, son, I can't. I'll feel sick. And I couldn't even see that movie, Hardcore Henry. I don't know if you saw that one. That one was pretty much a first-person movie where the guy was running around. All you just saw what he saw. And I was like, oh, it looked like a cool movie, but I couldn't. I said, there's no way. Yeah. I could barely sit through the trailer. So I was like, there's no way I could sit through this whole movie. But yeah, I'm not much of a gamer like that. The last game I bought was that Tony Hawk, that reissue of, I think it was Tony Hawk 2, I think, for PlayStation 4. That was the last game I bought. I was playing Resident Evil for a while, but then so many different ones were coming out. I'll play the new Mortal Kombat with my son every now and then, but it's not the Mortal Kombat that I grew up with in the arcade. So, I mean, it's fun. The moves still work, but the graphics now are so different compared to the very first two or three Mortal Kombats that we played on Sega. And it's video games are just way, way too advanced for me now. I can sit there and watch my son play whatever he plays, Halo and all that stuff. But it's I'm like, how do you know what to push? Because I still have my old Atari controller. I said, this was advanced for us. One joystick and one button. He was looking at it like, what is this? I said, that was our video game controller. He's like, oh man. So yeah, my kids just laugh at him. I mean, but when we go to like arcades, I always find the old timer section and just play like Galaga and Pac-Man and stuff like that. But these newer ones, I was watching my son play some Star Wars game. You were sitting like in a dome and it moved around. I was like, no way I could play that. I would get sick. But yeah, video games have come a long way. And Twitch, I've watched one thing because one of my friends was doing it. I mean, when you do that, do you like sit on it for hours and people watch you?
Yeah, it depends on the time. I try to stream Monday, Wednesday, Friday, just so I can, you know, spend some time with the family too during the week. But when I stream, yeah, I'll probably sit on there for up to like 3 hours. And I love it because even sometimes, like, I'll get random people in. I used to have this guy from Puerto Rico who used to come in pretty frequently. And it was awesome because he'd be like, hey, you know, hey, how you doing? And then I had another guy who I can't remember exactly where he lived. It might have been like Georgia or something, but he was in high school. He'd be, like, tell me about a job that he's gotten and, you know, oh, I'm going to be graduating and this is what I'm going to do after I graduate. It was really cool because people would come in and as long as you're interacting with them, like they'll sit there and talk to you, which I like, you know, and I'm just sitting there to play games and sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm not. But for the most part, I just like it because again, it's like a community feeling. I love when people come and talk to me just about whatever it is they feel comfortable. And yeah, I've always been that kind of person though, is I'm fairly easy to approach, I would say. And so I just sit there and listen while gaming. And I love it. I love it. And people, like, you could sub to me, like I was saying. You can, you know, I've gotten a few payouts from Twitch, which is kind of cool, you know, because it's like, hey, I actually got paid for playing these games. So at least I have a little something to show for it, you know. And yeah, my emotes are pretty fun. One of them is my face in a pizza pentagram. which is kind of funny. But yeah, shit, as long as I can remember, I've loved playing games, man. I just remember being super young. I was maybe, five, literally, when I started picking this stuff up. And like you're saying, though, watching these games evolve is just wild to me because of what I came from. You know, my favorite system still to this day, though, is the Sega Genesis. And I just remember that console was, everything was so good on it, but it was so damn hard, dude. And I don't care what anybody says, one of the hardest games on this damn planet is Lion King. That game is so damn hard, dude, and I still have yet to beat it to this day. So it's one of those things that I probably won't pick it up again. But yeah, now I get really focused on one game, like Destiny 2 is what I'm playing right now, so I'll probably be streaming a lot of that. And then Rainbow Six Siege, those are basically my go-tos. I had a buddy who worked at Ubisoft, and he actually got me into Rainbow Six Siege. And he's like, hey, you know, you should start playing this game, super competitive. It's really hard to learn, but like once you get it, then you can, you know, you're up there. And I'm like, all right, cool, man, I'll check it out. And I play on like crackhead mode, dude. My sensitivity and the tracking on my mouse are just like super crazy. People ask me all the time, like, how the hell do you play on that? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. The faster pace, the better. Like Modern Warfare 2, for example, Call of Duty. That's one that everybody knows. That one was always the favorite. And I remember one time just messing around, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and go get a kill or go get a tactical nuke, which is 25 kills without dying. I was like, I'm going to try this with just using a knife. And so literally I was running around the map and I never ended up getting it with just the knife, but I got up to 22 kills. And I remember because I was like, oh, I'm never going to get that far again. But yeah, it was, I was really good at games for a while. I'm still pretty decent, or at least I'd like to think. And, you know, it's one of those things that I love it. It's kind of a way for me to wind down, even though they could piss me off. But it's just something that I've always done. And then kind of with that Twitch community, it's really hard to build up a community like that if you don't have, you know, a full schedule to dedicate to it. But even with Twitch, I love it because I'll throw it on and then we'll get people popping in and be like, yo, what's up? My cousin jumps in. Beef, actually, he loves it when I stream because he'll leave it up while he's jump roping or, you know, exercising, whatever. And so he's like, yeah, it gives me something to listen to, you know, so. I appreciate that all the time.
That's cool. I mean, I've tried playing online gaming, that Friday the 13th game, but the guys I was playing with, man, they were just they were younger guys, and the racial slurs were flying back and forth to amongst them. I was just like, all right, can I just play this game by myself? I don't really need to hear all of this, but. No, I just kind of kept my mouth shut and was playing the game, but then I was like, I couldn't take it no more, so I just kind of logged out to that. Forget it. I'll just stick to playing with myself. I don't know. Maybe I needed to find the right guys to play with, but these guys were just cussing up a storm, and this and that was being said. I was like, all right, guys, I'll see you. So I've never done it again, but are you a collector of like collectibles or comics?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I was into the Funko Pops for a long time. At one point I had, I think, like 750, which isn't crazy, but I mean it's quite a bit. And I had 750 of those bad boys at one point. I collect comics. I haven't collected in a little bit, but I still have, probably upwards of like, I don't know, 15,000, 16,000 comics. And I do love me some comics, though, man. If I could collect them right now, I would. But I've been trying to get myself out of this debt hole that I've been digging for a while. And so that's kind of where I'm at with that. I also sell comic books, too. And I basically collect everything that I possibly can. You know, I love horror figures, stuff like that. I was super into Spawn. I love the Wizard of Oz. So basically anything that I can find that's Wizard of Oz, I buy it. Like, I just went to a thrift store the other day and they had the Wizard of Oz on VHS and I was like, oh, that's tight. And so I grabbed it. And yeah, man. I mean, especially with San Diego Comic-Con, like, I have some Rainbow Six figures that I got from there. I collect like film cells. I'll pick up film cells occasionally when I see them. And I have a lot of stuff, man. Like, I even have some Pokemon cards, some Dragon Ball Super cards. I have, there's a game called Flesh and Blood. It's similar to like a Magic the Gathering feel. I even have some of those. I collect Lego minifigures. I have mystery kid robot figures. I have all sorts of stuff, man. You name it, I might have a little piece of it.
You're just like us then. I mean, I got a ton of things I've been collecting since I was a kid. I wish I still had a lot of the stuff, I mean, once girls came into play, I don't even know where some of my stuff went, but I started up again really when I met my wife. She loves going to cons as well. She doesn't go all the time, but she goes when she can. We're a horror family. All my kids love horror stuff, movies and memorabilia. My grandsons, they're slowly getting there. My oldest grandson, he likes like Chucky and stuff like that. I don't let him watch the movies yet, but he knows who these characters are. When he comes in here into the studio, I'm a huge Friday the 13th fan. And I know you guys were talking shit about Friday the 13th in the last episode. But anyway, that's my jam. That's my idol. I just love Friday the 13th. Everything. Not so much Friday the Part 9, Jason Goes to Hell. That movie was bullshit. But anyway, so they come in here and they look at everything. Yeah, I'm with the Funko Pops as well. Not as much as the Zisu. If you ever get into his studio, it's packed to the gills of collectible stuff. He's bigger collector guy than I am. But right now, at Funko wise, I grab mainly all the horror stuff. And once NECA started their little Toonie Terrors, they're getting me on those. I don't have every single one, but I'm grabbing all the ones that I like. Also love wrestling, so I grab all the wrestlers, the ones that I enjoy. A huge Star Wars fan. I really slowed down on my Star Wars collecting because I was grabbing anything that had Star Wars on it, and it was just getting out of hand. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to grab the ones that I like. So I usually stuck with the Black Series.
And, those are sick.
Right now, I've been on there's a lot of Native American, like, influenced superheroes and stuff like that, like X-Men, the New Mutants, Danny Moonstar. I just picked up her figure. There was one figure. Let me see if I can grab it. Man, it is. I didn't even know this existed. I was looking up for a Dark Knight figure, and I came across the figure line Batman Incorporated. There is a Wayne, a Batman Man of Bats, and I don't know if you know that character, but he's Native American. He's got a headdress, he's got tomahawk, and he's got the fringe boots and the leather pants. I was like, what the hell is this? So I had to get it. So I'm just I grabbed, like, even G.I. Joe with the spirit figure. I grab those when I see them and all that. But yeah, pretty much everything here is a lot of horror stuff, mainly Jason. Anything Jason, I'll grab, be it Funko Pop, a lot of the NECA line. I'm missing the latest one. I think that one comes out pretty soon, but I've been grabbing those up. I'm an in package guy. I buy them and then just don't either hang them on the wall or I don't open them.
Yep, so same. 100% the same.
I have, I mean, that, if I buy doubles, it's because I want to open one. But usually it's just, if I just buy one, I just leave it in the package. And then I was sitting there thinking one night, so what am I going to do with all this when I'm super duper old? Because my grandsons come in and they look and I see their little fingers like they want to open them. And I'm like, you guys can't touch this stuff until I'm like dead in the ground. So just forget it. But I told my older kids, I'm like, look, if you guys can sell it all, sell it. But don't just come in here and start opening things. I said, try to sell it. I'm sure I have some things that people want. So that's pretty much my collection. But I'm running out of room in here, so I'm like, I really slowed down. They just came out with those reissues of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I love the Turtles. Leonardo's my guy. I had that figure in my hand the other night in Walmart, and then I was like, do I really need this? Because I have it already. I got the original one, but I opened it. It's just displayed in here. I'm like, oh, I want this one in the package, but then I'm like, yeah. I think I have no room, so let me just set it down. And I think about it. I want to go back and get it. I was huge into comics. I still am, but I haven't really. Once Walking Dead ended, it's like the world ended. Like what? Now what am I gonna read? I mean, there's so many different titles, good titles out there. I just don't really know what to dive into. I tried to dive into the newer once Disney took over Star Wars. But then they put out so many of them, I was like, I just kind of got lost in the shuffle. So I try to, mainly I've just been grabbing like either graphic novels or just the paper trade stuff and just read different stories. So I still pick up books, especially when I go to Comic-Con. I always make it a goal to at least buy a few comics while I'm there, because that's what Comic-Con is. It started as comics. So I try to keep that tradition for myself to always leave there with a few comics, other than all the other things that I buy there. I mean, I know people go to Comic-Con for different reasons, but pick up a comic book, help someone out. I usually help out all the local or the more smaller guy. Like if you were writing a comic, you did a comic, I would go to your booth and I would buy one to support you. If I'd have known James had a booth at one of these cons, I probably would have supported him. I was something else I was going to ask you. I don't really remember now. The other podcast, that you were a part of, is that one still going?
So that one is not, we actually ended up calling it quits. Essentially, it got to the point where it wasn't fun for me anymore. And every time I'd go there, it was just, I was dreading it. And one of the co-hosts and I, we didn't really get along. So I was just like, you know, I'm just not going to do this anymore. And, you know, I let them know. And then literally since then, she hasn't talked to me. So I think it rubbed her the wrong way when I was just like, hey, like she took it personally, you know? And I try to be civil after the fact, but then every single time anything came up, it was just she had to get a word in or whatever, you know. It just wasn't a friendship that I felt like we needed to have, especially because it did nothing for me, you know what I'm saying? Like not saying that I necessarily need to have anything, but at the same time, I don't want a friendship where it's super one-sided and anytime I talk to you, you're making me miserable or you're gonna piss me off or whatever, you know. I just didn't need it anymore, so I was like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and not do this anymore. And that's basically how that came to an end. But yeah, no, it was fun while it lasted. There's a crazy story in there of how I shit my pants, if you ever want to go and listen to it. which it starts out literally with me telling this story about how I shit my pants, and it's fantastic. But it was an interesting podcast because we talk about we debate stuff, you know, we talk about controversial topics, and all three of us, one of the guys, his name's Matt. I actually just bought his last four long boxes of comics from him. He just turned 45. And so he, you know, he was a little bit older than us. And he was from a different era. And so he would talk about things the way he saw it. And then we had Jordan, which was the girl, And, you know, she's a female, so she would talk about it from her perspective. And then you got me, who is, I don't know, I'm a different creature, dude, you know? So we would have these crazy debates and talk about certain things. And then we even did like a, we called it Roast the Host. And for Jordan's birthday, we got people together and literally just made jokes about her. And so it was fun, man. It really was. But, you know, it got to the point where it wasn't fun anymore. And so I was like, all right, well, I got to call it quits.
Yeah. That's why I still do my solo show whenever I can. I don't see myself stopping at any point. I mean, doing this was fun. And then once East Society started, it's always cool to come on here and just talk about this and that and what we've done. So usually when I have guests, it's mainly for the Macness podcast. So we've had guests on East Society, like when we had you guys on there, but it's usually for a quick little segment and everything. But we've had guys that come on that just sat with us the whole time and BS'd about this and that. And we talk about what we've seen and what's coming up. We do video games every now and then, and mainly when the Zisu, he just got a PS5, so whatever game he gets, he'll come on and talk about it. I usually just like, I don't know what you're talking about because I never even heard of these games. So, but I let him do it. It's his show. He runs that whole thing, so I'm just there to talk through it with him. So. But yeah, what you guys do on the Ripe Potatoes is pretty much what we do, and I like it, man. It's cool. I mean, I like hearing you guys' voices, and then when you guys are just cutting up on each other and this and that, it's hilarious. So I love that. We cut each other up, but he doesn't have the potty mouth that I have. So hey, I'm the one that's complaining about this and that. I'm the old man of the group. So he just kind of lets me do it. Because one time when I was visiting him, he was ranting and raving about something. I never rarely hear him say a curse word. And he said one. I was like, whoa, whatever. I can't remember what he was talking about. Must have really got him mad. I said, who is this guy? And how come he doesn't come on the show? Goes, oh, I leave that all up for you. I can't do that on the air. I said, oh, man. I said, we're supposed to be real on the show, and you're holding back. He was like, no, I don't want to lose any listeners. I said, we probably lose listeners on little rants that I go on. But he goes, no, I like when you do it. I can't do it. I'm like, ah, man, all right, whatever. But all right, the Ripe Potatoes. Where can everyone hear your show? I know we've said it, but...
So anchor.fm, of course, you can go check it out there. We're on basically all your favorite listening spots. Spotify is always the one I post the link for because Spotify is what I personally use. So it's easier for me to distribute. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Breaker, Castbox, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. So I mean, you could find us basically wherever you want. You can find us on Instagram at the_ripe_potatoes. And you can find my comic page over at Comic X Steve. If you want to follow me on Twitch, you can. It's twitch.tv/xnoff, X-N-O-F-F. And I have an Instagram for that, too. It's imxnoff. Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me here, man. This is awesome. I love what you guys do. I love being part of this community, you know. And we're definitely going to have to get you on another episode, you know. It's a shame that we live so close, but yet so far, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, I'm always over in Nevada pretty much every day of the week minus the weekend. So It's never an issue. Even if I have to go over there one weekend to hang out with you guys, it's fine. No problem. I've been driving this highway forever, so it's like I put on a podcast. Next thing you know, I'm in Reno. So I drive all over the place. I drive back and forth to the Bay Area like every other weekend. So it's nothing. I like driving, but man,
we should do like a podcaster's camp out night, dude, and go to like either Pyramid Lake or go to like Frenchman's or something, dude. and then do it like a podcast around a fire. That would be sick.
That'd be fun, but I'd be scared at Pyramid. I hear those stories, and all the stories I heard about Pyramid growing. I've been out there a few times, but it's just those stories scared me since I was a little kid. but my friends always said, as long as you treat the lake fine, you'll fine. You'll be fine. I said, yeah, I know that, but everything you guys told me scares me. So like, I believe all that stuff, especially out there. But Steven, brother, man, thank you so much for coming on. You're always welcome to come on. E-Society are here to promote this, promote that, whatever. I mean, it's always cool. I mean, we can just come on here like we did now and just BS the whole time. But I wanted to get you on here, and the people that do listen to my show that don't listen to the Ripe Potatoes, now this is half of that. We'll get the other half on when he comes back from New York. I love New York. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's...
I've never been past Texas, bro. I'm sad. Yeah.
I've been going to Texas the past few years, but I finally made it there. I try to go to wherever I can. I work for an airline, so it's like, yeah, if there's room, I can get on and go. And that's the only reason I went to New York, is because I didn't have to pay for a plane ticket. And I went to New York Comic Con, and I fell in love with New York. So that of my whole life, I love New York. I was like, what the hell is that? I love New York. I can't wait to go back. I wish none of this stuff happened that's going on in the world and everything. But I'm going to go, hopefully, this year for a New York Comic Con, because that con is awesome.
Hopefully we'll be there with you, man, right next to you walking through.
Yeah, it's a totally different one than San Diego. It's not as big, but it's different. I mean, it's the East Coast. It's New York, and I go there, have fun at the con, but I want to go out into the streets of New York and everything, and hanging out in Brooklyn and all that. So it's a good time, dude. Yeah, next time, or if we all end up going, man, we'll have a blast. But yeah, man, I eventually want to come over there and sit down and talk with you guys about this and that. So, but yeah, everyone, we'll get James on here at some point. But again, brother Steve, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. Definitely check out the Ripe Potatoes and all the stuff. I'll post all the links down in the show notes so you guys can find them and listen to the show and promote them as much as you can. But before we get out of here, anything else?
No, man, I guess... that Friday the 13th, I know we don't agree on it, dude, but just remember, I'm just young and naive, all right?
Yeah, that was on the Candyman episode. I was like, hey, wait a minute. I remember the show, but that was the one that stuck out to me the most. But I was like, hey, damn it.
At least I know somebody now, though, you know, because like one of my favorites is Ghostface or Freddy, and then you got... Beef who likes Michael Myers, so it's like I at least have to have one friend whose favorite horror character is somebody that isn't mine. So you're the man for Jason, dude. I'll take it.
Speaking of Ghostface, did you guys do that last Scream?
Oh yeah.
You guys did. Okay, never mind. But yeah, all right. But yeah, everyone, again, the Ripe Potatoes on Anchor. Search for them there. Again, all the links will be below. So with that, everyone, 6 years. I'm still here. And hopefully here's to another six. And I'm going to try to do more than just one episode. I think I only did one or maybe two episodes last year of the Magnez podcast. So I'm gonna come on with hopefully one more before the year is up. I know we're still in the beginning, but we shall see. Hopefully the next one we'll have James on. I'll reach out to him, see when he can do it. But with that, everyone, go over to Anchor as well and to listen to the Ripe Potatoes. And then when you have time, listen to us on the E-Society. Just search E-Society. Then come back over here to the regular network and listen to everything all over there. So if we got new listeners, thank you for listening. Welcome. Hopefully get you some more listeners as well. But with that, everyone, again, thank you everybody that listens to me and listens to us on the E-Society and everything. It's still amazing. It still blows my mind on how much people listen to the show. You just want to listen to me complain about this and that and listen into the Zisu and all his collections and everything. So, but anyway, the grandkids are starting to make noise in the hallway. I guess I better go. But with that, everyone, please be safe out there. Crazy times in this world, but always remember to rock hard and skate fast.
Hey, shouts out. Later, guys.
Olvidar si no hubiera volteado tiempo.